7:59. Stay tuned next for Talk Radio and host Crystal Leedy, where she will interview Bill Press, author of Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves, coming up right after this announcement. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's gay and lesbian community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. More information at 503-230-7701 or www.pdxgayyellowpages.com.
Hello, and welcome to Friday Morning Talk Radio. First 20 minutes this morning, we have a great guest for this Memorial Day weekend. We're going first to be talking about toxic talk with our first guest, Bill Press. Welcome, Bill.
Crystal, nice to be with you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so glad you could be here. We know you've got a tight schedule. So listeners, we will be speaking with Bill Press for only about 20 minutes this morning. I'll be interviewing him for about 10 minutes, and then Bill will take your calls for the last 10 minutes. So if you want to ask Bill a question in 10 minutes from now, we'll just set it up now.
Right.
Yeah, the phone number to call is 503-231-8187. That's our call-in number, and we'll take those calls in about 8:10. So, listeners, please keep your questions and comments brief. Okay, so thanks so much for being here. You're with us by phone right now, but you're actually in Portland. Yep.
Right. I was going to say it's so great to be on Portland. I love this city. One of our sons went to Lewis and Clark, so we've been coming here a long time.
Oh, my alma mater, too. That's
is
great.
That right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he lives in Bend, Oregon. So,
oh.
Yeah, so we get out here as much as we can. I love the city and love Powell's Books, where I'm going to be tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's a great institution. So you're currently on the Toxic Talk Book Tour?
Just starting. This is the first stop, actually.
Oh,
yes.
Well, we're honored. And this book is about how the radical right has poisoned America's airwaves. Would you have any examples in your book about some of our local Portland talk show hosts, or should we not go there?
Well, I don't actually have any of the local Portland talk show hosts, but I focus on, and let me just say, I love political debate. I've been doing it all my life, Crossfire, and, you know, up against Pat Buchanan and Bob Novak, and all the big ones and the best. But what we hear today is not good, hard-hitting political talk. What we hear so much from the right today is just this constant stream of personal attacks and venom and name-calling, and it's mean and it's ugly, and I think it's dangerous, and I think it debases our democracy. So, and I'm talking about, you know, the big names, who I think, by the way, today also are the leaders of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck, who's maybe the most dangerous of all these days, and Michael Savage, who I think is the worst of all.
Yes. Now, some of those people, our listeners may not have actually listened to. Can you give some examples of?
Well, let me just say, let's take Michael Savage, if I can. Okay. I mean,
sure.
Well, Glenn Beck is better known. Okay, Glenn
okay.
Beck has got a show on Fox and everything. I mean, this is what Glenn Beck has called Hillary Clinton, for example, a stereotypical bitch. He's called Jimmy Carter a waste of skin.
Oh.
You know. He said about Michael Moore. He doesn't particularly like Michael Moore. And so the filmmaker, right?
He's
a hero of mine. Glenn Beck mused out loud. I'm reading just a little couple of sentences from his radio show, right? Quote, "I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore. And I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire someone to do it. No, I think I could do it. I think he could be looking me in the eye, and I could be just choking the life out of him.
Whoa.
I mean, this goes, this passes for political talk. I mean, I think it's, again, and you know, the problem is, and Crystal, let me point this, this week, the FBI reported that there are more threats against members of Congress than ever before.
Ever in the history of the country.
Up 300% in the first 5 months of 2010. Now, I'll tell you, I think there's a cause and effect, because there are crazy people out there who hear the violent language against public officials from these right-wing talk show hosts day in and day out, like a guy named Eric Erickson, who's a CNN contributor, who said if a census worker walked up to his porch, he would pull out a shotgun and on him.
Well, that really scares me. My partner's a census worker.
Yeah,
there you go. These are scary people.
I just saw the clip this morning of a census worker who was shot at yesterday, and there have been something like 113 attacks against census workers just this last month or so. But my point is, there are people out there who hear this talk, right? And they are unbalanced, and it triggers them to go out and commit violent talk, convinces some people to commit violent actions. There's no doubt about this cause. A goes right to B, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and with talk radio, it's like getting the message, I guess, if you have this kind of mind, getting the message from God himself. Or
exactly.
The
you
powers.
Know what? Yeah. It gives the stamp of approval, right?
Yeah, that's right.
To something that they might have been thinking about. And for me, when John Boehner uses the word Armageddon to describe the President Obama's health care bill, right? For a lot of people, Armageddon means, you know, you take up arms to prevent anybody who's going to threaten, you know, basically our Western way of
life. Right, we learned that from Sarah Palin, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So again, as one who does talk radio, who loves talk radio and loves political debate, I just really regret and lament and am appalled by how it's degenerated into just pure name-calling. And I wanted to expose these guys in this book and also talk about the imbalance of talk radio. You and I are lucky enough to be on the air, but there are many markets in this country, many, where there's no progressive voice at all. There are 10 hours of right-wing talk in this country nationwide for every 1 hour of progressive talk, like you or Amy Goodman or me or...
Wow, that's chilling. That's really chilling. So people are not getting a fair and balanced picture of anything out there.
Right, right. And the public airwaves, which, again, are public airwaves, meaning we own them, and these stations get a license just to use them, but they're not serving the public because we're not a 10-to-1 right-wing nation.
Well, that's, you know, yes, and it's good to know the truth of it. Well, was there anything in this book that you found that was maybe worse than you expected?
Well, I did not, once I get into doing, actually listening to these shows and reading the transcripts of the shows, their language was worse than I expected, and the paranoia is worse than I expected. I mean, I mentioned Glenn Beck before. Glenn Beck actually believes and preaches that President Obama is a communist, that he a Marxist communist, that he is out to destroy our democracy and all of our democratic institutions, and he has surrounded himself. I mean, he says this. It's just like appalling. Okay, disagree with the guy's policies, but, you know, the idea that this is some closet communist he says that Barack Obama was not elected. It was a coup.
Oh, my goodness. So he has these evil fantasies, and he puts them out as...
he puts them out as truth, right, which it's not, and too many people swallow it as truth. So I found that the rhetoric was worse than I thought, that the imbalance in getting a message out there is worse than I thought. Both of those things are true. And I would hope, you know, there used to be something called the Fairness Doctrine, where stations had to provide a balanced point of view. They could not be all left. They could not be all right. Fairness Doctrine was done, was killed by Ronald Reagan in 1987. So I think we need to get the FCC, that's who did it for Ronald Reagan, I think we've got to get back to the FCC enforcing their regulations so that there is more of a mix of voices on the airwaves. Again, we're not served when all you hear are these loonies on the far right.
Well, that's really true. And, you know, living here in wonderful Portland, I think we forget, or I tend to forget, what some of my relatives in the Midwest may be being exposed to all the time, and they don't get the whole picture. Well, it's just about 8:10, and so listeners, if you have a question or comment for Bill Press, please call in now. He's only with us for 10 more minutes, so please keep your questions or comments brief. And that number again is 503-231-8187. So let's just keep talking while we can here, Bill. What is another thing you'd like our listeners to hear that's in your current book? Oh, well, and excuse me, I'm asking you a question, and I believe we have two callers on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yes, Chris, you're on first. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Love KBOO Radio. I'm so glad to have progressive talk radio in this town. And thank you both for being on the air and pushing out an alternative viewpoint this morning. My question, Bill, is what do you propose that progressives can do in terms of you know, starting to take back the airwaves and you know, what is it that we can do to counteract, you know, this 10-to-1 opposition that we have in terms of getting our information about what's going on in the world? And I'm more than happy to take my question off air. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's an excellent question. I appreciate it. And by the way, you don't, those of you listening don't realize how lucky you are to live in Portland, where there's actually more than one progressive station to listen to. And that is a wealth of voices that and points of view that most, sadly, most people in this country do not enjoy. So there are various levels in direct response to the question, Crystal. One is do what this caller just did, which is support KBOO, right? I mean, support KBO radio and the people who are on it and the sponsors who keep the station on the air. That's very, very important. Support your local progressive host and your local progressive station in every way you can, at events and with calls and fun drives and everything.
Oh, we do have to do our fun drives, but thank you for reminding everyone that we do need your money.
that's so important, right? Really?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
The other thing is, I think, is we all have to pressure members of Congress to get the FCC to provide some more balance on the airwaves. I'm not saying take anybody off the air. I'm not saying censor anybody at all. All I'm saying is when you have, again, 10-to-1 right-wing versus liberal talk radio, the public airwaves are not being used to serve the general public. They're not being used in the public interest, which the law requires. So pressure members of Congress, you know, whether it's Ron Wyden or Earl Blumenauer or Pete DeFazio, all of whom I think would support this, press them to actually do something. And I think the third thing that's got to happen, and not everybody can do this, is people complain to me, Crystal, about Rupert Murdoch, okay, because he went out and he bought all these right-wing stations, you know, and they say, oh, that's evil, and, you know. Well, my take is different. We need to find our own Rupert Murdoch, and we need either to pool money or to get that Rupert Murdoch, who's wealthy enough to do it himself, to go out and buy some radio stations and create a real left-wing or progressive network that can compete with these guys. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist.
So a call out to all you rich Portlanders,
wherever you
may be.
Yeah.
Send money. Great. I think we've got another person up with a question. Ryan, you're up.
Yeah. Thank you both for what you do. It's some of the progressive radio has kind of saved my life in the last few years, being able to listen to some people that seem to make sense. And I have a couple of questions. First one is your take on, I haven't read your book, obviously, but your take on some of these talkers on the right. Do you think that they are truly believing the things they say, or do you think they are entertainers that know how to press buttons? And the other question is about some of the progressive radio people that I've listened to. There seems to be a spectrum. There are people that are really kind of like what I'd call sort of warriors, and then there are other people that are have a little softer touch. And then I talk to people in the community, and they hear some of the people that are a little more vitriolic or hard-edged, and they say, oh, that really turns me off. And then that makes me think that, oh, that's how the right wing operates. They're not afraid to go out there and just hammer things, and then when the left tends to get a little, you know, fight fire with fire, then people don't like that. And so I myself am kind of debate, you know, what's the approach? And I was just wondering what your take on that is.
Two excellent questions. The first one, these guys really do believe it. Now, they really do. As shocking as it is, I think Glenn Beck really feels that Barack Obama is an anarchist. I think Michael Savage really does feel that white men rule and nobody else should have any rights in this country. He says it all the time. Rush Limbaugh is maybe the exception. I do believe that Rush Limbaugh is more of an entertainer than a true believer. God knows he pumps out the conservative message strongly enough and well enough. But I've only met him a couple of times, but I think he at some point turns his microphone off and just chuckles as to some of the outrageous things that he said. I don't believe that about Glenn Beck or Michael Savage or Mark Levin or some of the others. On the second point, you know, I'd have to say among progressive voices, you've got some who are real chargers, maybe, you know, and warriors, I think is the word that Ryan used. I think of a Mike Malloy, maybe Ed Schultz.
Yes.
And there are others who are, I don't say this in a critical way of anybody, but who are much more probing and thoughtful and calmer, if you will, like Tom Hartman, who's based here in Portland, is a great talk show host. Then you've got maybe some who are in between. I think maybe I'm in between. Stephanie Miller is more entertaining, but also very informative. I mean, Amy Goodman is probably the most knowledgeable progressive on the air anywhere in the country, you know, on the planet.
We're really lucky to be able to have her.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Randy Rhodes can be very hard-edged, God love her, and take no prisoners, but she's also so well-informed. So I think you have a mix of voices on the left. The problem is there are not enough of us, right? And we're not on enough stations to really have the impact that the right-wing talk radio has.
Right.
And I don't want us to become like them, by the way.
You know? Ranting isn't exactly what you have in mind here. But what about Rachel Maddow now? I'm in love with her. I like her take
on things.
Rachel
is the best. And, of course, she came out of Air America, right?
Yes.
I first met Rachel, she was doing that unfiltered show in the morning on Air America. She is so good, so well-informed, and she has taken all those talents to MSNBC now, where I think she's just a rock star. Now, again, you don't hear Rachel calling people, you know, Marxist and socialist and communist or I mean, you don't hear her name calling at all.
Right.
Rachel just lays out the facts.
She does. And we've got another couple of callers.
Sure.
Scott, you're next and I know you've only got a few minutes, so please keep it brief.
Go ahead. You let's take the calls.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I just heard you on KPOJ, and you mentioned how NPR is actually not so progressive. Now, you're on a community radio station now. What is the relationship going into the future between commercial progressive stations such as KPOJ and independent community stations such as KBOO?
Well, I just think this is not my field of expertise. I do talk show host. I don't manage radio stations. But my reaction would be, Scott, that there's a place for both and an importance of both, and that's why I'm urging listeners to support a KBOO, because they don't have the value of or the the resource of having commercial sponsors who can keep them afloat. So they're two different breeds of cat when it comes to radio. I'm part of commercial talk radio. I depend on getting enough stations, enough sponsors, enough revenue to keep on the air. Community stations depend on enough listeners and enough supporters, listeners who will write a check to stay on the air. But either way, it's important that they be there to get a progressive voice across. Crystal, just briefly, NPR, I was asked about on KPOJ.
Mm-hmm.
NPR is great. I mean, God, I'm glad it's out there. I think it's a very valuable use of our government resource. But it is not the same as progressive talk radio, whether it's a community-based station or a commercial progressive station, because they're getting public money, so they have to be, and they are, right down the middle. I mean, you listen to their reports, they're reporting the news in great depth, but they're not taking sides. And if they ever have anybody on expressing an opinion, they always have somebody on expressing the opposite opinion. In fact, I think if you look at NPR, they have more conservative commentators and guests than they have liberal guests.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. Can you take one more call?
Sure, absolutely.
Great. Joanne, you're on the air. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hello. I don't know how to say this clearly, but these people you're talking about, are they a form of modern-day propagandists or agitators? Okay, I'll get off the air and listen. Goodbye.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You get more. That's what you get, is you get more propaganda than fact, that's for sure. And here's the thing, Joanne. It is part of the big right-wing message machine, and they get it, I have to tell you, much more than people on the left do. They went out, and they recognized the importance of the media. And they did a very concerted campaign. They raised the money. They formed think tanks, all kinds of think tanks in Washington, D.C. They also, at the same time, went out, bought hundreds of radio stations around the country. They recruited talk show hosts. They trained the talk show hosts. They subsidized the talk show hosts. They built this network. And now they have a message machine that pumps the talking points. That's why they all sound the same. That pumps the talking points out to the propaganda, if you will, out to these talk show hosts. And that's why they all spew the same phrases and take the same attacks. It's the big lie theory, if you will. Now, we don't have that on the left, and I don't want to become like them either in being so vitriolic or being so, you know, knee-jerk. I tell you, I don't want the Democratic National Committee to be sending me talking points. If they did, I'd throw them in the wastebasket. I just like to speak from my heart and from my brain as to the way I see the issues, which is on the left. But propaganda machine is not an exaggeration. That's exactly what you get. You certainly don't get the truth. I want to mention one other thing, Chris, if I can.
Sure.
There's a great organization called Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, and they listen to these right-wing talk show hosts, radio and TV, every day, and call them to task and report the lies and tell the truth in response to every one of them. They were very helpful in writing my book. I did most of my research from their archives, and it's just, I encourage listeners to check their website.
Could you say that website?
It's Media Matters, one word,
MediaMatters, yes,
.org.
.org.
And the organization is Media Matters for America, founded by David Brock, who was a former right-winger who saw the light and has come from the dark side to the light side, to the right side.
Oh, that is wonderful. It's good to know that we're not a small minority here on the left.
We're growing. We got a long way to go, but we're there and we're strong and we're growing.
Great. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to talk with us today. I know that you have to get on. But we so appreciate your time here.
Just a whole round of interviews today, leading up to being over at Powell's tonight. Looking forward to getting back to Powell's on Burnside. I'll be there at 7:30, so I hope to see a lot of you there.
Oh, you just said exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
I'll say it again so that everybody knows it, Bill. We've been speaking with Bill Press, the author of Toxic Talk, and you're on the Toxic Talk book tour, right? Oh, there's another part of the name to the book, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves, correct?
And boy, have they ever.
Have they ever. And so you can hear him this evening at Powell's Books, just like he said, 1005 West Burnside. Thanks again so much, Bill.
Love to be with you. Thank you. Great fun. Thanks, Crystal. Thanks for all the good work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
All right. See you again. Bye.
Okay. Well, so we're very glad that we got a chance to have him on this morning, and he even gave us a little bit more time than we had thought he would. So let's keep this talk going if we can. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you. I got to say that I don't think there's anyone here that I don't think I've ever heard any toxic talk on KBOO, but hey, maybe you've got something to say about that. And speaking of toxic, Truth Out recently reported on the Toxic 100 Air Polluters Index. No, this isn't talk radio, but it's based on air releases of hundreds of chemicals from industrial facilities across the U.S. And just so you'll have this information, the top four were the Bayer Group, as in Bayer Aspirin, ExxonMobil, no surprise there. That's as in the ExxonMobil spill in Alaska. And the last two biggest polluters are Sunoco and DuPont. So, next up here on Friday Morning Talk Show, we were hoping and we still hope to be speaking with Greg Grandlin. We've had a hard time getting hold of him. He's in Hawaii right now. Although Greg is a professor of history at New York University, and his most recent book was Fortlandia, The Rise and Fall of Henry Ford's Forgotten Jungle City. And that was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. But if we can get him on today, we'd want to talk to him about his most recent post on TomDispatch.com. And the name of it is, Does the Tea Party Run on Race? So that's another topic we might get into today. But listeners, we'd like you to think about calling in with any reactions you have, pro or con, to our guest, Bill Press, who is, as I say, the author of Toxic Talk. It's almost 8:30, and you're listening to KBOO FM here in Portland, Oregon. And I think I'll read you a couple of other little items I've got here while we're waiting for some of you callers out there. Yeah, so once again, because you can never say it enough, our call-in number is 503-231-8187 if you'd like to call us this morning. I don't think our toll-free number works on talk radio. Sorry about that, folks, but you out there in other parts of the country, call in. And I think we have a caller right now. Marty, you're on. Hello there.
Yeah. Yes, Crystal, thank you. I really enjoyed hearing him talk, and I couldn't agree with him more. I am a little despairing and feeling less than hopeful, however, because I think, you know, just, and I certainly don't mean to discourage anybody from engaging in the measures that he suggested we do, but it seems like the, you know, what the right has done when they're in political power is they've, you know, defunded the very regulators that we could hope to turn to, like the FCC.
Oh,
and,
yes.
The Congress, I think, is fearful of taking on any of these right-wing babblers, you know, about calling them for what they are, which is just, you know, pretty senseless invective. I think they're afraid to take them on. They've already seen what's happened when you try to say something against, you know, any of them, but particularly the more powerful among them. And, you know, I don't know. I agree with him 100%, you know, to support the people who are battling this frightful battle. You know, take your business to those people who, if you're listening to commercial radio, those people who do support the airwaves with their dollars and buying commercial time on the airwaves, and in case of KBOO, to support them. But, you know, I have to say that I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed by the prospect of really being able to do much about this, and you can't even write into the editor, because you're preaching to the choir if you do that. I think most people who do read editorial pages aren't those people who are listening to that kind of talk. So it's really hard to reach the listeners, because that's what they're listening to. You can't get past the screeners when you try to call one of these people. And if you do succeed in getting through the screeners, I suspect that you would be just subject to the, you know, the worst possible haranguing that, you know, that you could have. So
they intimidate people, do they? I mean, they really do, don't they? Intimidate the would-be callers.
They intimidate them, I think, far more than you hear on Progressive Talk Radio. I don't know what to say. I wish I could feel more hopeful about the prospect of taking these people on. They outnumber the progressive thinkers and talkers by far, and they have so much political clout now that it's really scary for, I think, Congress or anybody to pursue an FCC change or pursue a fairness doctrine, because I think that the right-wingers would just take that and twist that into being, oh, now they're trying to control the radio. Oh, yeah, you know, they're this and they're that. So, but I appreciate the thoughts that he had, and I'm glad that we have at least a few places where we can listen and hear truth that has been vented a bit, and just, you know, just better radio, in my opinion. One of the problems, I think, too, is that, you know, some of the right-wingers, they're so enthusiastic, you know. They're not reasoned. They're not rational. They're just loud, and they keep repeating themselves. And it's amazing to me how many people, they'll believe something. If you just repeat it often enough, they'll actually believe it. Like you were talking about Glenn Beck and what his beliefs are. And people tend to think, many people tend to think that if you hear it on the radio, if you hear it on the newspaper, or hear it on the TV, that it must therefore be true. And I don't know how to, you know, counter that. And then you see things like are going on in Texas, you know, where they're changing history and, you know, not encouraging students to be thoughtful and actually look at the kind of sullied parts of American history. So I wish I could say I was more hopeful, but I don't know that it's going to change a lot in the next decade or so. And it's
yes,
kind of appalling.
Well, thank you, Marty, so much for calling, and we really appreciate your words on this. Thanks again. And we're going to go on to our next caller now, Tyler. Good morning. What would you like to say?
Hey there. Thanks for having the show, first of all, discussing this topic. I would say that we shouldn't be too worried about all this extremist rhetoric, because anybody that's somewhat educated, informed, or rational recognizes how ridiculous it is, and it kind of laughs at it. You know, there's a thing on YouTube called Mox News, and basically we're just people making fun of it because it's so ridiculous. And also what's so funny is they try to claim that Obama is socialist and communist, when anybody that actually analyzes what he's done has seen that he's just continued the exact same policies as George Bush and really is more right-wing than most left-wing people think he is.
Yeah, I think those of us who voted for him are a little disturbed that he seems to be edging away from where we thought he'd be.
And I also like to say that while the right-left paradigm does exist, I think a lot of it is really false and played by the media to fake people. And I think people need to realize that it's really more a class issue, and that there are people that are on the top tiers of society that are organizing things, and it's not just a conspiracy theory. I think people need to get past that, there's no organization of rich people. Oh, Bilderberg Group and New World Order doesn't exist. there are people that are doing that, and so it is a right-wing philosophy. The CIA has committed atrocities in America, and people need to realize that George Bush was the head of the CIA, and that Iran-Contra happened, that we did sell drugs, and we did sell weapons to Iran, and people just need to realize these facts, you know, and
well, I think
that...
Yeah, luckily, I think a lot of our listeners do, but I'm glad to have you reiterate that. We've got to take some more callers because we've got some folks waiting on the line, but
thank you.
Thanks so much. Yes, and caller, who is the caller up next? Jack, you're up next. Go ahead, please. Welcome. Jack, are you there? Oh, I think we lost Jack. Okay, sorry to... these things happen, though. Oh, we have Scott. Is that you again, Scott, or is this another Scott?
It's the same one, but I
go ahead.
Did have a point to make.
Sure.
I take it you're a talk junkie yourself?
Well, I do listen to the stuff I like to listen to mostly, actually, yeah.
Yeah, we tend to like to listen to people that we agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But here you are as a host, and KBOO's always been kind of a vital, independent voice where... If you take a look at radio land, we have a lot of national talent, so they're always talking about national issues, but what KBOO really does well is talk about things like police accountability, and you can just name all the hundreds of issues.
Yes.
There is, I think, a really great potential that KBOO can even go further. The FCC allows each station to use a high-definition technology to divide up their existing signal into... three stations using the same station that we currently have with no extra licenses. So with a piece of equipment that costs about $50,000, KBOO could literally be divided into three stations. Imagine filling three separate stations. We could have KBOO like we have today. We could have an all-music KBOO, and the third one would be all news and public affairs. What do you think?
Oh, what a dream. What a dream. Yeah, I like that.
It's a dream we can make reality.
It was if we can get all those folks out there to contribute the $50,000 we need.
That's
the
only trouble.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, we've just had a fun drive, and anybody out there who hasn't gotten their checks in yet, please do so. I'll just say that now. And
if you're not a member, please join.
Oh, absolutely. Always that. Thanks so much for calling back.
Bye-bye.
And I'm thinking we have Brian next online. Welcome, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great show. I want to point out that this is probably the only country I can think of that these people would be taken seriously in, you know, like, I call him Pish Limbaugh, and I've got names for them, some of which I can't repeat on the air. I know my radio training well.
Yes, but feel free to repeat the ones that you can.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but, you know, as I say, this is the only country where these people would even be listened to. Some of the stuff I consider treasonable. That they've come up with since Obama was elected. I mean, I used to say to people that I'd like to have seen George Bush, the twit, and Cheney join Saddam Hussein on the gallows. But what I'd really like to have seen was him brought to justice before the Court of The Hague or some responsible worldwide court. You know, I would only say stuff like that to people that I know real well, but I was loud in my desire to see him, you know, hauled up before a world tribunal for crimes against humanity. I would never go on the air and say that, but these people are spreading dissension and treason against an elected president, and you know, might also interest, you know, the British government a couple of years ago refused Michael Savage entry into the country. For his hate speech on the airwaves here, and you know, along with that preacher that went and railed against gays at
in Africa.
They were persona non grata and were refused entry, and with very little, upset. I think that actually I have personally written to the FCC to complain, to ask them to to have Fox remove the, fair and balanced.
Oh yes, false advertising.
From their, their PR.
Mm.
I mean, God, at least KBOO is a left station, and we're proud of it.
Yes.
And declare it. So why can't they just tell people what stripe they are, and they must are they ashamed of something, perhaps?
Mm. It's
I'll let you know if I do ever get a reply from the FCC.
Great, Brian. Thanks so much for calling.
One more thing. This
okay.
is an example of the messiness of democracy.
Yeah.
The people who abuse free speech will be the first to take it away from you if they ever get enough power.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. Thanks so much for calling. We've got some other callers online, but thanks, Brian.
Bye.
Bye. And who have we got up next? Jack, you're next. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, same Jack. I drove into a poor reception area. Sorry about that.
Okay, come on back.
And I am using an earpiece, and now I've stopped. First of all, I've only listened to KBOO for the last few weeks, and I was surprised to hear it mentioned as a progressive rock talk station. The reason is, mostly of what I've heard, is just informative. I guess I'm not terribly familiar with the progressive rhetoric. Maybe the things I've heard have been progressive.
Are you from out of this area, Jack?
No, I'm Portland Metro.
Mm-hmm.
And I have listened to the local commercial progressive station, and, they label themselves progressive. The thing that I notice when listening, the difference between listening to progressive radio and conservative radio is, for my money, there's a different respect and emotional content. To me, the conservative radio talks hosts that I've listened to are frankly hateful.
Yeah, they're not happy people, are they?
No, and the little progressive talk that I've heard is simply not. There's more respect, more courtesy. And for my money, the whole problem in our system rests on the two-party system. If we had more parties being able to get their voice heard, that would make some difference. I'm registered independent, and I personally resent the fact that my taxes go to run two-party political primaries. And I'm to the point that I'm so disgusted with party politics at all that I would rather do away with it. I won't participate in party politics, and unfortunately that limits my voice in the society, but that's the way I feel, that partisan politics are just, I'd rather think for myself. I don't need a party to tell me how to think.
Well, we appreciate your thoughts. I'm glad you called in this morning. I think we have another caller waiting. Am I right about that?
Well, good luck to you guys, and if I can ever contribute, I will.
Oh, thanks so much. I believe, Dave, you're up next.
Hello?
Hello, yes, Dave, you're up.
Hi, it's Dave. How are you?
We're pretty good here, thanks.
Excellent. Hey, excellent show.
Oh,
hey,
thanks.
I want to kind of bring in a different perspective. I'm a right winger type of fella, and I've got to tell you, from a right wing perspective philosophy, there's a reason why in Portland and across the nation, why the right side of the dial is far, far, far more popular. And from my perspective, I listen to the right side of the dial talk radio because I don't get that is my philosophy. I believe in what the right is saying. I believe that I think Obama, although I don't call him a socialist, his policies have social tendencies, and where he's taken this nation has social socialized communistic tendencies. And so that's why I listen to talk radio, because we're not getting this on TV other than Fox, so ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. It's all the left wing side of the dial and philosophy. So the reason conservative talk radio has become so popular is because that's the only place that we, the right wing, can convince, if you will, and hear our side of the story and our philosophy. That's what we believe in. So why is that so wrong?
Well, you know, Jack, we're going to have to go on to another person, but I want to just ask you, don't you think that some of the right-wing folks are pretty trying to incite people to maybe even violence? I mean, there's some Tea Party.
Give me an example, please. I hear this a lot. I hear we're angry. We're not angry. I would like to say we're very passionate. Give me an example of a talk show host out there, whether you're national or local, who incites violence, and you've seen violence. Give me an example, please.
Well, you know, here's my problem. I don't listen to them, but I do remember, and this was...
there lies your problem, ma'am. That's what all you people are saying.
That's true.
But you don't listen, and you can't give me an example.
Well, I'll give you a local example, and I don't know that I'm supposed to use people's names on air from other local stations, but I believe our local fellow, who's pretty right-wing, Lars Larson, was...
Lars Larson, okay.
Yeah, he was carrying a gun around and kind of proud of it, packing it in the back of his...
He was what?
Carrying a gun around and kind of bragging about it at one point. I remember hearing him...
That's the Second Amendment. What's wrong with carrying a gun? I carry a gun.
There's no...
I have a concealed weapons permit. What's wrong with that?
Well, the fact that you announce it would probably make a lot of us who don't believe in violence kind of, you know, worried about that. We wouldn't want to be in your presence so much.
Well, you know what? Has he ever shot anybody?
I have no idea, but you know what?
I know about a bunch of illegal Mexicans who've shot people.
But if you can name their names, that would be great. But we're really going to have to go on to the next caller, I think. Thanks anyway, Jack. And our next caller is Mark. Hello, Mark. You're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
I think your guest had an example of some talk show hosts who very specifically... promoted violence against specific people. And I think he gave some examples.
Glenn Beck, that's right. See, I've never watched Glenn Beck, so.
But anyways, on this 10-to-1 ratio of, you know, several things, you know, this is commercial radio, and, you know, business wants policies that are friendly to business, so they fund conservative talk to make sure that there's as many conservative voters out there as possible. And it's aimed at conservative talk. Is the purpose of conservative talk is to get people of middle and lower incomes mostly to vote against their interest by using emotional trigger issues and race.
Yes, do say more.
That's
about
the whole
that.
Purpose.
Yeah.
This is the entire purpose of conservative talk radio. Because, you know, educated conservatives don't really want to listen to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're educated,
mm-hmm.
and this is not, you know, an intelligent discourse.
This is more like old medicine show stuff.
This is total emotion and vitriol and as your guest had said, documented lies in order to get, and this is very important, in order to get people of middle and lower incomes to vote against their self-interest. And there's that book, I can't remember the gentleman's name, What's the Matter in Kansas? And
people
can look that up, and he talks exactly about this issue at great length. And I think it's really good that if you do have, you know, progressive radio, that it doesn't match the style and vitriol of the right-wing radio, because, you know, what your mother always taught you is that you want to model the behavior that you want to see.
Well, and, you know, I also think with progressive radio talk radio, there's a wanting to build community rather than to rant on one's own particular points of view. Well, and the building community are thinking that we have a community who believes the way we do.
Well, I think that we do, you know, kind of need to support each other because it does. Yeah. If you listen to the airwaves, you know, it feels like there's a lone voice out there. And I think the gentleman caller who said he hasn't seen a lot of real hard-driving progressive kind of talk and discussion on even KABU, which, yeah, maybe he needs to listen to a few other folks because, you know, I'd love to recommend Teresa Mitchell and a few other folks to him that...
Oh, yes.
That, you know, don't pull no punches and...
That's right.
And they, you know, they're and they're well-researched.
Yes,
and,
they are. Good point. Thanks so much.
But anyways, that's all I had to say.
Thanks so much. We appreciate your words. And we have another caller now. Thomas, welcome to KABU.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Enjoying the discussion very much. A few things occur while listening, and that is that, you know, I'm a progressive. I consider myself a progressive political person, and I, you know, it occurs to me that a lot of the appeal of this very venomous right-wing radio and its ascendancy on the AM dial and so forth, and also in other broadcast media, is due to the fact of the absolute paucity of a viable alternative being presented in the more mainstream media and also in the public broadcasting system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we're talking about a situation where we have a radically socioeconomically downwardly mobile population in this country, people that are angry, people who have had their real needs challenged, and there's a sort of a vacuum. I mean, we look at the United States with a public broadcasting system, for example, which is supposed to be the people's, government-funded broadcasting, and we notice that in contrast to other democracies, there is not one labor program on the PBS. And as far as I know, there never has been. And the similar things can be said for national public radio. And you know, another side of the coin is let's look at the Democratic side. It's really easy for all of us to beat up on the right wing and the horrible and the vitriolic words of Glenn Beck. But I would submit, you know, a lot of this media deregulation that happened did not just happen under Ronald Reagan, though certain key pieces did. There was a wholesale rollback of broadcast media ownership regulations during the Clinton era that really made this sort of expansion of these media conglomerates possible. And furthermore, think about the position of working class people who saw an entire era of Clinton where lockstep Clinton backed NAFTA, the World Trade Organization, privatization, all of these things that contributed to, guess what, very real, visceral economic stressors directly on the working class. And then
yes.
The most constructive thing we can do often in the mainstream media is smirk and laugh and at the right wing and the fierce. So I'm saying there's a huge vacuum, and us on the that are more progressive or Democrats or what have you, we need to do some real soul searching and look at what's really been furthered under our watch and ask why there's a huge vacuum of meaningful discourse on the issues that affect real people in the real world. And I think until we do that and just fall into the trap of the low-hanging fruit of just excoriating the Glenn Becks and the Rush Limbaughs, I think we're really, it's wasted time.
Good point. I'm glad you made those. Thanks very much. And we do have another caller we're going to go to now. Jerry, welcome to KABU. Oh, Jerry, do we have Jerry there?
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome,
KABU
then.
I've been to KABU for many, many years. But what motivated me to call in, I'm also a KABU member,
thanks.
Is that you are going to have Greg Grandin on the air. And
yes.
Right.
You're wondering.
I'm a member of the Portland Central American Solidarity Committee, so I'm interested in Latin American issues. I just wanted to say for the folks listening, this man is absolutely brilliant. Professor, his book, Empire's Workshop, Latin America, the United States, and the Rise of New Imperialism, is the best book I have ever read on Latin America. He ties everything together and talks about, you know, capitalism, imperialism, how it's affected Latin America. So I just wanted to give a plug for Greg Grandin. It's too bad that you couldn't get him on the air. And
yes.
That's basically all I had to say.
Well, I really appreciate your saying that. We feel badly about it, too. We've had... several emails back and forth, but we were not able to reach him this morning. Let me just say that since you've brought him up, something that he's written recently on TomDispatch.com, Greg Grandin, does the Tea Party run on race?
Right.
And I think, you know, the quick answer is yes, but people could look that up if they'd like to hear more about him.
Right. And like I say, he's well worth listening to and reading.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate you calling in on that.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
And I think we have time for another caller. Tyrone, thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
We're pretty good here.
How you doing? Yeah, listen, man. I'm a color man, black man, African American. But I listen to the talk radio to the right side of the dial.
Oh, you
right
do? Week. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? Because they all got a good perspective that I like to listen to. So
tell me about that.
I want to encourage you to listen to it. You know, it starts at 9 o'clock with Rush Limbaugh and Lars Larson. So y'all listen to it. It's coming up in 5 minutes.
Well, thank you so much. I'm slightly, for some reason, I just don't quite trust that you're who you say you are. But
oh, yeah, this is Tyrone.
Tyrone.
Coming up on KXL.
Well, thanks so much for calling in there, Tyrone. And we're glad that we have a number of people listening today, some of them with multiple personalities. But that's okay. We're taking all the calls. I think we might have time for another one. While we're finding out, I'm just going to say, coming up later on this morning on KBOO at 9 on One Land, Many Voices, the guest is environmental filmmaker Tim Jennings, who has just returned from a winter volunteering with the International Solidarity Movement in the West Bank. So that's at 9. At 10, it's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary by our own Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints presents an interview with marine toxicologist Ricky Ott on the BP oil spill and its potential health effects, and an interview with a Berkeley businessman about the harassment he has experienced for his public stand supporting Palestine. So there's a couple of good news stories coming up. And then at 11, we hear a talk on comparison between Israel and South African apartheid. That's all coming up later this morning on KBOO. And I wonder, do we have another caller waiting for us? Andrew, I believe that you're up. Andrea, you're up next. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi there.
Am I on right now?
You are right now.
Oh, okay.
What would you like to tell us?
Well, the reason why I called, and I hope that everybody listening will understand my sentiment and not take this wrong, but I'm really tired of time being wasted talking about the left-right paradigm.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about right-wing, left-wing talk show hosts and what they're saying and what they're trying to incite people to do. We're being duped. We're wasting our time. We don't have time for this. Right now, there's still oil spilling in the Gulf. Nobody's doing a damn thing.
Well,
all
you
they're
know,
doing is saying they're doing something, and we're talking about the right-left paradigm. We're being fooled, and we need to stop.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about how that's working, because I think that, you know, I don't think there's anybody that I know of that's on BP's side about this, but say
well,
a little more.
Well, for one, we still have a president who's doing nothing. We have executives who haven't been arrested. We have people waiting to do anything that are being told to do nothing.
Yeah, now that
you know, this is
agree
criminal.
With you there.
We are under war, period. Every minute that the air that we are broadcasting should be about that, not about this other stuff. They've put us into a pigsty and let us fight there and think that we're going to get our job done. Nothing gets solved that way. In the meantime, people are dying.
Yes.
We are dying.
And other creatures are dying as well.
That's right. So when people are talking about who said what to who cares? Grow up, people. Wake up and grow up. Stop being children. Go rout these people out, period. Get rid of them.
Well, I can see that you're an activist. I can hear that you're an activist, I should say.
I'm not an activist. I'm a mother.
Okay. And
I want the military fears because I see people dying.
Yes.
And we should all be like that. Everybody should have woke up this morning incensed and pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't we? Because we're trained not to. Because we're going to talk about Sarah Palin and the Tea Partiers, and who the hell gives a damn?
No, you know what, though? I've got to say some words in support of KBOO, though. I think there's a lot of people here on air. Maybe this morning this seemed a little lightweight to you, although I think that people are concerned about certain matters. But I think we have a lot of good programming on KBOO.
Oh, excellent programming.
And
please
we,
don't take me wrong on that. I am the biggest supporter of KBOO.
Okay.
I give my money to it. I preach about it. Public airwaves are so important. We have 13 radio stations in the country left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. I'm not mad at KBOO.
Okay.
I'm not mad at anybody. Well, actually, I am mad
you
at
You are.
People.
Go ahead and clarify. We got about one more minute, and then we have to, or actually less than a minute, and we have to. So, but make what?
This is the thing, is every conversation has to come back to what's going on, every single one of them. We can't. It's like a parent. When your child is in trouble, everything else stops. If your child can't breathe, you don't worry about paying the bills. You don't worry about what the neighbor said. You make sure your child can breathe. That's where we are right now today. We need to make sure that our lungs can breathe for the planet.
Right.
If we talk about anything else, we deserve what we get, period. And we don't have a choice. And it's not that I don't want to turn on music today and party and listen and have a good day. Because tomorrow there may not be that day to have.
There may not be, but let's hope there is. And on June 7th, we're going to have a full day of programming about the oil spill and its what's going to be happening for years to come. I have to say goodbye now. Thanks for listening to KBOO.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And so next up, we're going to have One Land, Many Voices starting really soon. Thanks again for listening.
It is 9 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany, and we're on the web at KBOO.